You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today we are joined by Ralph Pope, founder of Red Oak International, that assists in business formation and development with a focus on finding and exploiting unique technologies, with an emphasis on finding non-traditional funding sources. ROI also assists small businesses with access to the federal market. Ralph, a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you today, too.
It certainly is, and good information, I'm sure, for our listeners. Now, if you would, tell the audience about Red Oak International and what you do and how you got started.
Well, Red Oak, Eric, is founded about 18 months, 2 years ago, and we've looked for a space, kind of a boundary layer, a tradition between traditional consulting work and business formation assistance. So with that thought in mind, we've looked for products and also for services that would help the business community, particularly startups, find and sell their wares as quickly as possible. And we really have focused on finding non-traditional products. And if I have a second here, Eric, I'll give you a quick description of one of them. Not only we give advice, we also find products and sell them. So one of the most interesting things we found in the last 2 years, working with literally a rocket scientist, of something called hyperspectral imaging, which is a device, a passive sensor. So if you go to the doctor, I think everyone is familiar with the classic tests that take place, which are radiation-based, and our sensor functions in the infrared wavelength. So, for example, if you went to the dermatologist and they took a look at a suspicious tag on your skin, that tag is emitting in a spectrum that's not just optical, you can see it, but it's also emitting in a full range of spectrum. So our product, our service, our patented product, would allow the physician to look at that tag and determine whether it's suspicious or needs further biopsy. So that's one of the products we've brought to market or bringing to market in the right here and now. Additionally, we've also provided consulting services to nonprofits. I don't know if you've worked with, Eric, with nonprofits before, but they tend to be very stodgy, and we've worked with one of the local very large nonprofits here. It's a trade association, and trying to update their web design, their service delivery models, and I think we've had some success in sort of giving them some new thoughts, some thought leadership, if you will, in terms of bringing their products, their services, essentially, to their own customer base.
How did you learn how to become a successful entrepreneur, assuming that you consider yourself one? Was it simply trial and error, or did you have a mentor or just learn things from your previous job experiences that helped make you be the successful entrepreneur that you are today?
Well, I think one of the things that really helped me get kind of focused on the entrepreneurial side of the house is I grew up in the service, the armed service. I'm an Army brat. And I think there's one thing about watching the big green machine in operation is there was always a tendency to look for incremental improvements in how, even as a child, how the Army delivered things. And having a chance to live all over the world during my upbringing, I can tell you that one of the first things I saw, I recall, we moved to Germany, and I got off the plane, and I went and used the little boy's room, and I noticed that the faucets were labeled with a dot, red for hot and blue for cold. And, of course, in America at that time there was an H and a C, and I thought, my God, that's really interesting because you didn't need to know the language to be able to turn on the correct faucet. So I kind of trace my entrepreneurship heritage back to that sort of moment in time when sort of a light bulb came on, literally, that there were many ways to approach the same problem. So that's where I started with, and then, of course, through my career I've been lucky enough to have good mentors. One of the senior VPs at Northrop Grumman Corporation, Jim O'Neill, was a very helpful guy for me. He always emphasized that, you know, I had a different set of skills to offer customers and to the company besides just the traditional, I have a law degree, so besides just thinking about what my legal background was, to actually bring my ideas to bear on a day-to-day basis.
Excellent. So now, always the curiosity and information that all of our listeners can learn from. What were some of the challenges that you faced in the early days, and how did you and your business overcome those? And what are some of the challenges that you even face today on a daily basis?
Well, I think the number one challenge is just to have the sort of strength of character, Eric, to get on with it, if you will. I think one of the problems that I noticed among some of the people we consult with is they have an idea, but they let it sort of sit there in suspended animation for a long time. And I know the first step is the hardest one, if you will. And in this case, we were looking at this provisional patent that I was discussing, and it was an idea that really I had for a long time, and I had an inventor working with me. But we took a long time to sort of bring it to that first step. And so I think as I reflect on, you know, what causes success in business, Eric, it's moving quickly. I have a habit of sort of saying that, you know, time is the one variable that can't be replaced. So you can always find, if your house burned down, you can always buy another house. You can find another house, another place to live. If your car breaks down, you can replace the tire or whatever. But the time is a variable that once it's passed, we can't go back in time and start over again. So starting that first day, starting that first minute with getting something done, that's the vital importance for your listeners as well as for me to learn in business. So just get started. And that's what's been a blast, really, to bring a couple of these ideas out and to judge and feel what their reception is and then to tune them constantly. I think a typical day for me would always be waking up with an idea and then tuning it, bringing it better and better, closer to success as possible. So, and the challenge has really been really that self-motivation to really move forward with ideas. And that always is a challenge, frankly.
Certainly understand that. Now today we are joined by Ralph Pope, founder of Red Oak International, that assists in business formation and development with a focus on finding and exploiting unique technologies with an emphasis on finding non-traditional funding sources, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, what advice, tagging on to that last question, what advice do you have for our listeners who may be considering to start their own business and become future entrepreneurs, tagging on to that last question, if you will?
Well, you know, I think it's really important to realize the amount of resources that are available to everybody. They're kind of at their fingertips. As you may know, just a few years ago, cell phones didn't exist. Facebook didn't exist. There are tremendous, tremendous resources available to virtually everybody. I'm sitting in a computer right now. Eric, I bet you are too. The computer is literally a window to a digital information that's available for, you know, that was unattainable just a few years ago. So I think the challenge and the success here, the first thing I would take is, you know, learn how to use your computer correctly. You can do a tremendous amount of research on a business opportunity just sitting at your desk in your pajamas with a cup of coffee. And that to me is sort of the background secret to success. Use the tools that are available, and the tools now are just eye-watering. And then I think, as I was sort of suggesting before, time is a variable that, as I say, cannot be replaced. But the time to market successful ideas has compressed tremendously in the last 30 years. Let's say we all kind of know the IBM logo, but it probably took IBM, you know, 20 years to reach $1 billion in sales. And if you look at Facebook or Instagram, you know, even Apple took a long time to reach a few billion in sales. But these other more modern companies are reaching those $1 billion thresholds in 18 months or 2 years or 3 years. I mean, today, I think Facebook just blew away its numbers. Its stock price is skyrocketing. The promise of Facebook as an initial public offering is being met now, but it's almost hard to believe that there wasn't a Facebook in 2008, except on college campuses. So I guess my own advice to myself and to your listeners as well, Eric, is to dig into those resources that are available and, you know, look for sources of money that might also be available on crowdsourcing and Kickstarter and places like that to look. Those opportunities didn't exist, I venture to say, 3 years ago. It's fascinating. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to start a business. It's a great time to be successful in the business.
Yes, sir. And since the day you started Red Oak International, can you give our listeners an example of one of your best client success stories?
Well, as I say, we're doing some work for a nonprofit organization called FCIA, And I think our success is bringing to FCA, which was a very sleepy, I shouldn't say sleepy, but they're a nonprofit. And I think we've opened their eyes to some, actually introducing some of the web tools that we're just talking about. I mean, many of the clients that we talk to are younger, and they understand. But a more established nonprofit like FCA would not have understood something called search engine optimization in the past. And that's a tool whereby a business for a very small investment in dollars can reach a huge audience and really motivate their listeners and their subscribers to come to the platform and to take advantage of some of the services that are offered. So I think bringing a kind of a new idea set to an older business has been a great personally rewarding for me, because they service a lot of government workers and military folks and so on. So that's been very, very helpful. And we're about to launch a workforce channel, too, which would bring job opportunities for veterans. And so, again, using the modern tools that are available, social media, taking maximum use of social media, et cetera, those are very rewarding. And I think those are examples of Red Oak's success in the last, let's say, 6 to 8 months.
Where do you hope to take Red Oak International in the next few years, and how do you see the business growing into the future?
Well, as I say, we found this interesting boundary layer, Eric, between classic consulting work and product development. And so what we're doing on a daily basis or weekly basis is attending a lot of the incubator forums that exist around Northern Virginia. That's where we're located. And one of them is run by AOL, or it's a sort of spin-off incubator by AOL, sort of sponsored by them. And it's amazing. We've attended two or three of these things, and the kinds of ideas that we find in those forums are fascinating. And so what we're doing is helping some of the idea generators who are sort of stuck in this loop of, how do I take my idea out to the marketplace, and how do I do so in a reasonable amount of time? And many of these people have their own day jobs, Eric, so it's not easy for them to spend or have the business acumen that maybe Red Oak can bring for them to help them move for that next step. And so we've found one guy that has this very interesting algorithm that generates animation but uses much less bandwidth. So we're helping him find small sources of funding, friends and family money, and also opening his eyes to some of the crowdfunding available sites like Gust, which is another very interesting source of money that's available for people that have brand new ideas. And we're helping him organize the business in a way that, so it's an LLC with participants getting some sweat equity, if you will. And we have a pretty good-sized network of people that will participate in helping him bring his ideas to the forefront.
If you would, tell us what the process is like in terms of recruiting clients for your business.
Well, so far we've been attending these incubator sessions, which have been very helpful. And then the second thing, of course, is just word of mouth. As it turns out, when you I met a guy in the parking lot, Eric. He approached me and said, "Gosh, I've seen you drive up a couple times, and what do you do?" And I said, "Well, gee, I have this business called Red Oak." And the next day he emailed me his business plan, and we were kind of off and running. And we've gotten him – he's the guy that does the workforce channel. And we've got him two or three early sessions. One of the things that I think I like to emphasize to businesses is that you may have a good idea, but it can always be made better by sitting down with – sort of gray beards or not so gray beards, and having an interchange among the people that are in the meeting and the idea generator. And we've helped this fellow tailor his ideas. He'd already done quite a bit of work, but I think we're reaching the next step where we're going to take his idea to a couple of funding sources that are interested in providing veterans jobs. And I think we have a new approach that's different from the traditional veterans employment opportunities. And so that has been just a happenstance, Eric. I literally met him in the parking lot. And then other folks we meet sort of if you play golf and you chat a little bit about what you do and what you'd like to do, you'd be surprised what's out there just from normal interchange with your friends and family. And then the other thing that, because, you know, as I mentioned, in the past people often sat on ideas, one of the hardest thing to do is to break down those barriers and get people talking about what would they improve in their daily life. And because we can take these things to market so rapidly, I think that's been a very valuable dialogue to have.
Finally, with many of our listeners being small business owners and entrepreneurs, let me ask you, how do you think small business owners and entrepreneurs are feeling today? What needs to be done by Congress in order to help small businesses and entrepreneurs in today's economy? And whether it's access to capital or giving tax breaks to Main Street, what do you feel that needs to be done to spur growth in our small businesses around the country?
Well, Eric, that's a great question, and one I've given a lot of thought to. And because we've been tuned into these, you know, I've run a Kickstarter project. We're working with Gus, which is another crowdfunding opportunity. It appears that the SEC and Congress has encouraged the crowdsourcing mentality and actually legalizing it and legitimizing it. And I think as long as that remains in place, that gives small businesses a chance to find. And there's a couple of projects that I've noticed on Kickstarter, one a mason jar that was item that was promoted by a couple of UVA graduates, and they raised over $75,000 through Kickstarter. That would be unthinkable five years ago. So Congress, if they can stay on that course, that would be great. That's a way for the smallest of small businesses to find capital without having to put necessarily their house up on the market or, you know, giving away a huge stake of equity in their business. And then that's a vital, important thing. And the Congress has done that. The President's done that. That's one of those places where we seem to have bipartisan support for creating and maintaining our small business community, which is vital, as everybody knows, to the success of the country. So that's what I would encourage. Stay on that course and stay the course.
If you would, tell our listeners what's the best way to be in contact with you and also Red Oak International.
Thanks, Eric. Again, the easiest way to get a hold of me is through a direct cell phone number, which is 703-939-0847. That's 939-0847. We have a website that's being constructed. Hopefully that'll be up and running sometime next week, which would obviously have our name, Red Oak International. Those would be the best ways. Look for us on the website. To come and call me on the phone if you have any questions. I'd be happy to talk through it. I think one of the things that I've picked up from the Lincoln language, one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite presidents, is, you know, advice is sort of our stock and trade. So that's what we do at Red Oak, and we're happy to talk to anybody that wants more data about this.
Well, certainly has been good to have had you on the program. We've been speaking with Ralph Pope, founder of Red Oak International, that assists in business formation and development with a focus on finding and exploiting unique technologies with an emphasis on finding non-traditional funding sources. ROI also assists small businesses with access to the federal market. And for direct contact, simply dial 703-939-0847. Mr. Pope, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
It's a pleasure, Eric. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And this has been Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.